great to be with you this morning. Hasn't it been a great time of worship together and praying together and hearing what God is doing in and through our group of Christians? You know, we are one part of the church, one part of the body, and it's an incredible privilege to come together the way we are right now. You know, I love preaching and I love teaching, and one of the questions I always ask before I prepare a message is, what is it that people need to hear? Not what do they want to hear, what do they need to hear? And I ask that of myself. What do I need to hear? What does my heart need to hear? And then I ask myself a second question, which is, why are you listening to what I say? This is the question. You guys don't understand. Sometimes I think, why on earth would anybody listen? And we have to believe that there's a supernatural exchange that happens when we get the Word of God and we open it up and we open up our hearts to what it has to say. The Word says that we can be washed with the Word. We can be renewed and washed with the Word. So my prayer this morning is that something that is being placed on my heart will transfer really, really well to your heart, and you will hear what the Holy Spirit needs you to hear today as we open up the Word. You ready? Get your Bibles, your digital Bibles, whatever, get your Bibles. We're going to have a look at Exodus chapter 2 in just a moment. Let's get ready to do that and open up the Word. I've loved the start of this year. When did it start? I don't know. How long into it are we? I don't know. What time is it right now? I don't know. You're watching on the internet. It could be 2045 at 6 a.m. Who knows? But I'm glad you're watching right now. We love the I'm Glad You Asked series because it encouraged us to ask questions. Faith is done in community, and questions need to be asked. Anyone that says that you should shut down your questions and just believe what the guy says, no, that's not how the Word works. And so it was exciting to go through the Glad You Asked series and encourage us to ask questions of one another. We walk beside one another, we ask questions of one another, and we share our testimony with one another, and that builds the community of faith. Then we went into the Shape series, and we tried to discover what we were shaped to be, and you realize in the end that again, just walking with Christ and letting Him shape you from the inside out, you'll discover the gifts and the ministry on your life and the place that you have in your community and the way you can be salt and light. And then over the last 2 weeks, Pastor Stan, I think brilliantly, has expounded on the first part of Exodus and taught us about the restrictions that came over the people of Israel. 70 people going into Israel. This incredible story of Joseph who saved Egypt from starvation. And within one generation, one king dies and they forget what was done for them. See, we often look at the Egyptians as the bad guys in this story, and I think, you know what? We forget what has been done for us to get us to this place all the time. Basically, the nation of Egypt forgot that Joseph had saved them. 70 Israelites, right? 70 Israelites go into this. Jacob and his sons, right? Start there. And over time, they multiply. They multiply because that's what they were commanded to do. And they put down roots and they build houses and they do all of that Scripture taught them to do. And then a new king comes in, and suddenly restrictions are put on them. They are put into slave labor, and they start to build the cities of Ramses, you know? And this is, they've gone from the people that saved them to the people that are restricted and enslaved by them. In one generation, one king dies, one new king comes in. And that's how quick that moves. We need to understand that life, we are not in control. We understand that. We understood that through our Shape series. But we need to start to get a revelation of God being the through line in our lives. That God is the only faithful element in our lives. And that if we can learn to each and every day start by surrendering to Him, then we can find ourselves in a stable place, whether we are restricted, whether we are refugees, whether we are in need of rescue, we can find ourselves in a stable place because we know there's a God who loves us. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 11 starts like this. It says, "One day after Moses had grown up." One day after, there was a period of time, after that period of time, one day after Moses had grown up. I could just stop right there and just let that conviction grow on me, couldn't you? Here's what I want you to do right now. Ready, ready, ready? I want you to get your name and put it in the middle. One day after Justin had grown up. Pastor Stan and Simon, stop laughing. One day after Simon had grown up. One day after. Now, we know that it's not just that he had grown up and then the next day, ta-da, something happens. But there was a period of time. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. And before we... Stephen. You know Stephen? Stephen is an incredible man of God. Stephen is chosen. In Acts chapter 6, it says they choose seven to give attention to prayer and ministry. And Stephen is the first one chosen by the disciples in Acts chapter 6. So Acts chapter 6 and verse 5 says, the proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. A man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. That's who they chose. Why am I telling you this story? Watch what happens. Acts chapter 7, Stephen stands before the Sanhedrin. Why? Because he'd refused to back down in his faith and he'd been arrested for preaching the gospel. And he stands in front of the lawgivers, the lawmakers, the people who God had spoken to about rescue over centuries and centuries and centuries, had cast images of Christ coming, had prophesied that Christ would come. And he'd been crucified by them. Stephen stands, and instead of defending himself, he defends his Savior. He stands and he gives one of the most incredible retorts you've ever heard, and he basically goes through the history of Israel. He tells the leaders of the Jewish nation, he tells them their own history, because he wants to defend his Savior. He's not there to defend himself. This is a huge lesson that most of us should take on board. Well, all of us should take on board. And in Acts chapter 7 and verse 23, he starts to speak about Moses. It says this, when Moses was 40 years old, after he had grown up, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites, and he saw one of them being ill-treated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out and murdered someone. Okay. By killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them. Jesus thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them. Stephen thought that his own people would realize that God was using his testimony to rescue them. The testimony of Christ in our lives is so often misunderstood. And we are not supposed to take vengeance into our own hands. We are supposed to let the wisdom of Christ infiltrate the ages so that our testimony keeps speaking. Stephen stood to defend his Savior, not himself. They expected that what God had spoken to them or what they had in their hearts to say would just be understood. And we know that's not the case. Moses goes out, and at the age of 40, he knew he wasn't Egyptian. He must have known he was adopted. We don't have details on that, but we know that he was born of a Levite couple, a Levite man and a Levite woman. He was born into the priestly tribe. His sister had taken him along that river that Pastor Stan was telling us was infested with crocodiles, and she'd protected him, and there was a plan walking among the reeds. And the daughter, one of the daughters of Ramses, it is said that Ramses had up to 60 daughters living in different areas around the territory, not necessarily in the palace. So some of the Charlton Heston stuff, maybe not exactly that image, but one of the daughters of Pharaoh had drawn him up out of the water and called him Moses. Moses just means pulled out. And there's a couple of Egyptian derivations of that same name that she might have called him by. But either way, he was known as pulled out. So he had been rescued, and he comes to this place of growing up and realizing that he's different. You ever realize that you're just a little bit different? A little bit different? You think, I feel like I'm a stranger in this land. Certainly as a Christian kid going to a public school in country Victoria, son of a pastor, two pastors in fact, I was a bit of a stranger in that land. And we know that God uses us even in those spaces. But our testimony is the thing that we need to focus on. And in Exodus chapter 2, we see this start to come together, where Moses goes out and he recognizes his brethren and he sees them being maltreated. And something in his heart starts to stir. And his immaturity means that he does something rash. One day after Moses had grown up, something happens in his heart, but he's not mature enough to apply any wisdom to the situation. Wisdom is knowledge and knowledge experienced over time that gains understanding. The wisdom of the ages is that you are only here by the grace of God. The wisdom of the ages is that only by the grace of God are you here to do what you need to do in the first place. So if you can start each day with that, God, by your grace I am here and I feel blessed to be here by your grace, then we can start by showing empathy but not taking the law into our own hands. And so this is the outcome. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He watched them and he saw it differently for the first time. He's 40 years old. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, glancing this way and that and seeing no one, putting his blinkers on in other words. He killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. He stopped and he thought, I'm going to take this into my own hands. He put his blinkers on and thought, no one will see what I'm doing. No one can see the hate. No one can see what's happening in my heart. No one's going to notice my sin. Nothing is going to change because of this. There's going to be no... And the next day, it says this, the next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting now. And he asked the one in the wrong, in other words, he'd made a judgment, that's the guy in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? And the man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Wait, whoa, whoa, what? He went out amongst his people and thought that his own people would recognize that his heart was good. But because of his immaturity, because of his lack of wisdom, he'd applied vengeance that he shouldn't have applied, and now he's completely misunderstood. Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Because they don't know that he's thinking of himself as a Hebrew. They're seeing him as a prince of Egypt. Are you going to kill me? Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. In other words, if the slaves knew, then the slave owners knew, the overlords knew, and if the overlords knew, then it was going to get back to Pharaoh. Verse 15, when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. What's a well? A well is an image of a place of wisdom. It's an image of a place of refreshing and renewal, and it's a place of putting down roots. You know, Jacob's well is probably the most famous well we think of when we think of the well. But Moses fled and he found a place to rejuvenate. He needed another place to spend another amount of time so that one day after he had grown up again, he could go and do what God had actually purposed his life to do. He'd been born into a nation that didn't want him, but he'd been rescued by that nation. He'd been raised as an Egyptian with the knowledge of Egypt, but he understood himself to be different. He lived in one place but felt like he was another person. He was in but not of, and then he flees to another place called Midian. We're not exactly sure where this is. We know there were a lot of tribes that shared this land, but we know that in this desert place he found refuge and he found renewal. And he starts to mature over this season. And it says this. So, now, a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. And some shepherds came along and drove the sisters away. But Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. This is the first time we hear of Moses, the rescuer. He becomes a rescuer at this point. He doesn't avenge them. There's no death in this scene. There's no mediation in this scene. But he recognizes the wrong and he recognizes the right, and he drives these guys away and he protects the flock, and he then goes and shows mercy. He walks humbly and he shows mercy. Does that sound familiar to you? Moses is growing up. Some shepherds came along, and the girls returned to Reuel, their father, and he asked them, why have you returned so early today? And they answered, an Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even went further. He drew water for us and watered the flock. Where is he? He asked his daughters, why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat. Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. dating scene was a little different back in the day. Channel 10 didn't have a show for this one. That would be a short show, wouldn't it? The Bachelor. There you go, married, done. Episode 1, over. Personally, I think that'd be a better show. But anyway, I don't watch The Bachelor. I'm sorry to all the Bachelor fans. No, I'm not sorry. Who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. And Zipporah gave birth to a son. Bit of a fast forward here, right? Gave birth to a son. And Moses named him Gershom, saying, I have become an alien in a foreign land. He was Moses. He was pulled out. And his son was Gershom. I have become an alien in a foreign land. And yes, I do have the Sting song in my head. Oh, I'm an alien. I'm a legal alien. I'm an Israelite in Midian. That's how that went, wasn't it? I'm getting nothing. I'm getting nothing from the audience here. Nothing at all. During that long period, after passing of time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant, and he looked at the Israelites and was concerned for them. Wisdom is knowledge plus experience matured over time. It's knowledge. Knowledge is available to all of us. Experience matures knowledge into wisdom. And he spends this time after a long period of time. And he gets to the end of this period and he finds out that the people that wanted to kill you aren't there anymore. They're not there anymore. In other words, this is another pivot point in Moses' life. We've called this series, Get Us Out of Here. Because really, it's a legitimate prayer. Get us out of here. I'm sick of this. Get us out of here. But I feel like this story and this history teaches us that whilst we can pray, get us out of here, we should pray an even deeper prayer, which is, grow us up right here. Yeah, I want to get out of here, but while I'm here, grow me up. One day after Justin had grown up, he went out and started to do what God had grown him up to do. We see two periods of Moses' life, the 0 to 40 period in Egypt, and then the next few decades, not exactly sure how many decades, but the next few, in Midian, growing up, becoming a shepherd, walking around with a shepherd's crook and a beard, and if it wasn't for Charlton Heston, we might not know how glorious Moses' beard actually was. That guy could rock a beard and a staff, couldn't he? That became important. And you know, I'm not giving anything away. Stan's going to preach this stuff, and I'm not giving the story away. You know that he walks around with a staff, and that staff becomes very important to him. He learns how to shepherd. He learns how to take time. He learns how to protect. He learns how to raise a family. He is matured. He has knowledge, and now he has experience. And over time, that has matured into wisdom. And now we're about to see something incredible happen after a period of time. God, and at the end of this chapter said, God promises, God remembers, and God acts. God promises, God remembers, and God acts. I want you to do something right now. What are the promises of God? Do you know what the promises of God are over your life? You can do a quick Google search for promises of God if you want and list a few. Here's what happens though. A lot of people take the promises of God and take the good stuff, you know. I will bless you and keep you and make the sun to shine upon you and I will be your tower of strength. And we put all those things together and we come up with what is famously known as the prosperity doctrine. You know, health, wealthy and wise? Prosperity doctrine. But this isn't a prosperity doctrine. This is a promise doctrine. The same promises of God. You remember Jesus in John 17 prayed, and he prayed for us because he said, in this world you will have trouble. That's a promise. That's a promise, right? So a promise doctrine has to include the good and the bad and have God as the central anchor point. He is the well to which we go. The word washes us. It refreshes us. The testimony of the saints keeps us connected and keeps us growing through the periods of time where we feel like we're just groaning. There is a period at the end of Acts chapter 2 where we see the groaning of Israel line up with the growing of Moses. And you know what's going to happen next? The glorifying of God. When the groaning lines up with the growing, then God is glorified. I don't know where you see yourself right now. Maybe you want this to be your one day. One day after a period of time, you get to go and do. We live life forwards, we understand it backwards. I don't know which day you're in right now. I don't know if you're in the period of time, after a period of time. But you can pray that God uses you today. You can pray that He hears your groaning. As long as you understand that you are not there to defend yourself, you're there to defend your Savior, you're there to speak that testimony of God in your life. And if the aim of your heart and your mind is to focus on Him, to lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all of your ways, He will make your path straight. Even if that path goes straight through the valley of the shadow of death, even if. Because when the groaning lines up with the growing, then God is glorified. Don't think you're special in your groaning. I'm sorry to say, but we all have the groaning. And sometimes we're watching other people in their one day and we're going, how come they get to have their one day? Where's my one day? When do I get to become the rescuer? Maybe if you'd stopped and thought, you know, I'll become the refugee first, or get restricted first, or Stephen stands and gives this testimony of the people of Israel, and he speaks to the depth of what Moses' life taught them. And you know what happens to Stephen? He gets killed. He gets stoned. You know who was at the stoning of Stephen? Saul. The groaning of that group of people. He had just been chosen. Just in Acts chapter 6, he was chosen. In Acts chapter 7, he preaches. And by Acts chapter 8, he's dead. But Saul is standing there, and Saul's life is about to be turned upside down. And so is the world as we know it. One day after God had done a bunch of stuff. And I don't know where I am in the line of history. And I know that Psalms talks about me being like a speck of dust in the timeline of history. But I know that there is a God who knows me even though I'm that speck. He knows me so intimately and He loves me. And it says he remembers His promises and He acts on them. Maybe you could type something into the comment section of how this is speaking to you today. What is it that God is speaking to you today? What is it that understanding this scripture is speaking to you today? Are you at that point where you just need to find a well and sit down and get some wisdom and stop trying to figure it out yourself? Are you at the point where you need to actually act on something God's been growing up in you and actually put it into practice, put it into play, put it into the field of play? For me, that was maybe writing a song for the first time and singing a song, or maybe preaching for the first time, or maybe it was, you know, figuring out how to cook for a large family. One day, after Justin had grown up, he went out and did the next thing. You know what though? The one day is not the end of it. Because one day, after Moses had grown up, he went out and he made mistakes. And then he fled. And then he lands in Midian. And he meets his father-in-law, and he meets his wife, and he has a child, and he becomes a shepherd, and he learns about the, you know, he ends up at Sinai. Some pretty major things happen in Midian. But the 40 years of growing up in Egypt wasn't enough. One day he went out and then he landed somewhere else, and that was another period of time. And then there was another one day, and we know what happens further into the story of the Exodus. But get us out of here is a pretty good prayer. Grow us up while we're here is a mature prayer. Wisdom is knowledge plus experience matured over time. I pray that you're being matured right now. I pray that you know that God's promises are still true. His promises are still yes and amen. But I pray that you know God at work in your life today, so that one day when He says go and do, you'll be ready to go and do. Take that statement. One day when, and put your name there, Sally and Freddie and Jen and whoever, when they had grown up. We're growing up. We're being grown up. And yes, we want to get out of here, but we need to understand that God is using the here to grow us up.